It's time for Making Democracy Work, a weekly program produced in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. Your host today is Debbie Good.
Our guest today is Commissioner Peggy Davis of the Greene County Drug Courts. Commissioner Davis, how is drug court different from other courts?
Drug courts are focused at addressing the issues that drive a particular offender into the system. The most important difference is the realization that treatment works for people who have a substance use disorder or co-occurring mental health disorder. The problem for most of us traditionally in the justice system is actually getting offenders to go to treatment and to follow through with the directives of the court. Drug court is different in that the supervision is more increased. Treatment resources are available long enough to help somebody. And then with the coercive power of the court, an offender has to attend treatment or report to the court and answer as to why not. That kind of combination of resources helps keep offenders focused on the recovery message and helps get them out of the system.
And how long has Greene County had a drug court, and how is the court funded?
Greene County started our drug court in 1998. We've been doing this a long time, and funding is a good question, a little complicated because we reach all kinds of resources. Probably the primary funding for Greene County Drug Court comes from our legislature, who votes every year to donate, or not donate, but give a certain amount of money to courts in order to function in Missouri, and that is divided up by the Drug Court Coordinating Commission in Jefferson City. So Greene County gets a percentage of that funding to operate. That money goes to paying for treatment, drug testing, ancillary services such as counseling, trauma treatment, and those sorts of things. In addition, the participants in the Greene County Drug Court have to pay a certain amount of that cost that goes into the court system and is never touched by the particular court, but we can pay for things that need to be paid for out of that fund as well. Generally, a participant will be required to pay about $2,500 toward the cost of treatment. Additionally, our providers attack or reach out and try to find existing resources, such as Medicaid services or other kind of grant funding that sometimes we bring into the state to help with this population.
Now, what I was wondering, say a person is arrested for drug possession, do all drug arrests end up in drug court, or are there some that don't?
That really depends upon the process as they go through the traditional justice system. Generally, drug court these days is aimed at people on probation, and it's aimed at what we call a high-risk, high-need offender. Risk not meaning risk of dangerousness. That's important for the public to understand, but risk of failing on traditional supervision. So if you have an offender who the court traditionally would think, based on your history, you're not going to succeed on probation, therefore the only option I have is prison, with drug court, you can take that kind of middle ground offender and put him in a program that has much more supervision and much more intense service. Services and actually manage them well in the community. So that's where we are with that. And as a result, most of the people who end up in drug court are on probation, so they've gone through the entire process. It's not just drug offenders anymore, but we will take other low-level offenses. The research tells us it doesn't have to be drug offenders that do well in these programs. So we can take a host of other issues on low-level cases that traditionally were prison-bound.
Like, for example?
For example, stealing cases, perhaps a low-level burglary, and those are often cases where somebody sleeps overnight in an abandoned house. It's not those scary kinds of things that create a risk to the public, but those things that people do whenever they're addicted to drugs and alcohol and their life falls apart, and we see them kind of roaming the street and they pick up property damage cases and that sort of thing. We've learned that they can be managed well in the community, they can be safely managed, and one of the most important things perhaps to our public is that way we can also get restitution and get that damage paid back to the victim.
What kind of treatment, are there different treatment options that people are assigned to, or does drug court have a contracted provider for treatment?
Yes to both questions, okay. Actually. So let me talk a little bit about what treatment individuals get. What we know is that we need to do treatment according to assessed need. And so we always do an assessment and look at where that particular individual is. And so if you're thinking about you go to the emergency room and you sit there, you want the doctor to do some kind of assessment in order that whatever medicine he gives you is aimed at the illness that brought you into the emergency room. Well, that's the same thing with substance use disorder or those related kind of disorders. Many, many folks who have a substance use disorder have been self-medicating for mental health issues. Oftentimes, they are self-medicating because they've experienced significant trauma. Most of our young people have experienced abuse, you know, difficulties growing up. And so we now actually look at what's driving behavior and actually offer trauma treatment. So the answer is we give them what we think each individual needs. I think that's one reason drug court works well, is it's not just throw a pot of spaghetti on the wall and look at what sticks. The other nice thing about that is we're not paying for services that a particular individual needs. So that's the answer to that. As to providers, we have a host of providers in the community. Our providers have to write to the state court administrator's office and prove that they're qualified to offer the services that they're offering. But because we're so large in Springfield, we go to several different providers. We work with our mental health provider here in the community, as well as a number of substance use disorder providers, and providers who may deal with criminal behaviors just generally. So we have a host of services at our disposal.
Are there data? Is there evidence that drug courts actually work? Do the offenders have lower recidivism rates, higher rates of sobriety?
The answer to that is yes. There's a lot of data. In fact, if you look at the national data on drug courts, it's one of the most researched criminal justice programs out there. And all of the data shows that drug courts work. The evaluations that are done are based on science, not on what makes us feel good. And so what I have are a couple of examples of data. According to the National Association of Drug Court Professionals, 75% of adult criminal drug court graduates will never see another pair of handcuffs. That's incredible when you look at recidivism rates generally. I looked some of those up on the Bureau of Justice Statistics before we had this chance to talk, and within 5 years, most of the people who find themselves coming out of prison on parole are going to end up back in our system. In fact, the numbers are as high as 77%.
Well, given our current opioid and heroin epidemic, is there anything that you would like to see happen with drug court? Would you like to see it expanded?
Yes. I think drug court works better than any criminal justice option out there. And I can tell you that, unfortunately, if you're a mom or a dad and you have a young person who's addicted to heroin and you try to find services for that young person, it's going to be very, very difficult to find the amount of services that you need. Research tells us that anything less than 90 days of treatment is ineffective and a waste of money. Unfortunately, if you're looking at the system where you just go into a private care provider, the cost is so prohibitive that it's difficult to get that 90 days at least. What we also know is that you really ideally need at least a year of treatment. And so what becomes so odd is that when you're in the justice system, and you have a criminal charge pending, that you're probably going to get better and longer treatment, which ups your odds of success. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of an upside-down system if you think about it, isn't it?
Yes.
But we know that treatment works. And one of the things about drug court, as I indicated earlier, is that it's so research-based. They are on the front end of what's working, what doesn't work, and if it doesn't work, we don't spend time on it. We really focus on what's working for our young people with opiate and heroin addictions. I did look up the stats recently on that, and it's interesting. The overdose deaths on heroin in 2016 across the country were 52,000. That's the same amount of people that would be in Nixa, Ozark, Republic, and Lebanon. all combined. So can you imagine losing everybody in those cities in one year?
That's awful.
Yes.
That's awful. And often they are people's sons and daughters.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner Davis. I'm Debbie Good, and this has been a program of the League of Women Voters of Southwest Missouri. This program and others in the Making Democracy Work series are available on the web at ksmu.org.